الحمد لله كفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Most respected elders and brothers in Islam, Alhamdulillah, we as the Muslims of South Africa are very, very fortunate that despite this being a country which is termed as a non-Muslim country, but Allah Ta'ala has made us very fortunate that to benefit from our ulama, from the Quran, from the Hadith, it's something very simple and easy for us. Alhamdulillah, we attend the Jummah talks, some auspicious nights, we will hear some advices given. There's so much of literature available. Alhamdulillah, the knowledge is there, the talks are there, the discourses are there. But what is lacking, we all know this, is the follow-up after those talks. As it is said, that so many talks have been given that it can be even listed on the stock exchange as talks unlimited. So many talks. But at least a person, when he hears, he goes for some dini program, some talk, some discourse, at least have this intention in mind, that at least one aspect, one lesson of the talk, I will bring in my life. If a person has to do that, there are approximately 52 Jummahs in a year. He will at least in 1 year progress in 52 lessons in his life. And similarly, he'll hear so many other talks, so much of other literature he will read, and like that he'll improve. When it comes to our businesses, when it comes to every other aspect of our life, we want to always improve and progress. I mean, when it comes to practice on Islam, on Sharia, how much are we progressing? How much of increase in spirituality is there in our lives? I wish to speak to you all today with regards to the greatest gift Allah Ta'ala has given us. And there is no doubt all of us know that the greatest gift all of us have been given, Allah Ta'ala has conferred upon us, is this precious, priceless gift of Iman. Iman is such a gift that living in this world, for us to really value and appreciate this gift and this bounty and benefaction of Allah Ta'ala, it will not be possible for us to really appreciate it. When a person really appreciates this great gift is when his eyes close and he leaves this world. To some extent, he will see the benefit of it when he's alive. But once we leave the world, at that time when the angel of death comes, that same iman that we had, upon that we did good actions, will then benefit us that ruh of the believer, the soul of a believer, will want to leave the body very easily. Pious, righteous believer, Allah Ta'ala shows that person his abode in Jannah. As a result, that ruh and that soul very easily wants to go to Allah Ta'ala. But a disbeliever doesn't have iman, a kafir, that soul seeing its abode in Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala has the ability to do so, to show that soul, that person. As a result, that ruh does not want to leave the body. An example is given of cotton wool placed on a thorny hedge. When you remove it, what happens to that cotton wool? The ruh and the life of a disbeliever to leave the body becomes extremely difficult. That is where we see the benefit of that iman. That a person who has iman, he'll be shown he is righteous. He sees all the comforts and enjoyments that are prepared for him in Jannah. As a result, he wants to go towards it. In contrast to that of a disbeliever. Similarly, when he goes in a grave, either that grave, rawdatun min riyadil Jannah, or hufratun min hufri niran. It is either one of the gardens of Jannah, or a pit of the fire of Jahannam. Depends on his iman and not having iman. Depends on his actions. Shukriya e qabr tak pahunchane walo shukriya. Ab akele hi chale jayenge is manzil se hum. Poet says, Fir Buzurg has mentioned it, that you have now brought me here to the grave. From here I go alone. No wealth, no children, no degrees, no position. This iman, this belief we have, how strong it was, how much we protected it, and then practice upon, mid a'mal, our actions upon that. That is what's going to benefit us there. In Tirmizi, a hadith has been narrated by Imam Tirmizi, rahmatullah alayh, where Rasulullah has mentioned, يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثًا وَيَرْجِعُ مِنْهُ إِثْنَانِ. Three things follow a believer when he goes to his grave. A deceased person, any deceased person, three things follow him. But two come back. One remain with him. يَتْبَعُهُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ. His family, his wealth, and his actions follow him. But two things come back. His wealth and his family come back. But only his actions remain with him. That is where our iman will benefit us again. On the day of Qiyamah, when we be resurrected, again that iman benefits us, takes us to Jannat. Even if a person has to be punished, he is punished to some extent. But even if he had an atom of iman, an iota of iman, he is saved from eternity in Jahannam. And after some time, definitely he'll be sent to Jannat. Contrary to that of a disbeliever, will have eternity in the fire of Jahannam. Again, it benefits. But respected elders and brethren in Islam, iman is not just something so simple that we say we are believers, we have iman. But we have to protect what we have. If a person has something which is priceless, precious in his eyes, how he looks after it? He'll protect it, he'll keep it in a safe place. What expenses and what he'll go through in order to protect that. That is why this iman has to be protected. Many, many times, we will make statements, we will do such actions, that will remove this great gift of iman from us. As a result, we will then leave the fall of Islam and iman and go towards kufr. Whether it be that wholeheartedly we do not believe in what is in the Quran and Hadith. Whether it be that we have some reservations with regards to part of the Quran, certain of the laws, and certain ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Allah Ta'ala says, do you believe with some of the book, some of the Quran Sharif, some portion of it? وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. And you disbelieve with some? Allah Ta'ala then says, the punishment of such a person is khizyun. He'll be disgraced in his worldly life, as today we find ourselves. The ulama have mentioned, what is one of the main causes of national, international punishments, azab, afad, bala, musibat, catastrophes and problems upon the ummah? Is that when it comes to the laws of the Quran and Hadith, one is a person does not practice. That is a sin on its own. But on top of that, he denies it. He rejects it. And when that takes place, you are trying to legalize that which Allah Ta'ala has prohibited. The month of Rabi al-Awwal is here. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mocked, is trampled upon. What happens? Doesn't that bring the anger of Allah Ta'ala? As a result, we find ourselves in such situations where we are being downtrodden, punished. We are being pushed from pillar to post, murdered mercilessly, and in so many other problems. So to protect this iman, whatever it be in the Quran or Hadith, has to be totally accepted. With no doubt, with no rejection, whether it conforms to our logic or not, whether you can fathom it or not, whether it is in conformity to our lifestyle or not, but we have to accept it and bring our lifestyle according to that. Many, many times when it comes to a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will mock it. We will deny it, that this hadith is a small thing. Nothing to worry about. Today we are now in progressive times. We are in the modern ages of technology. As a result, whether we accept this hadith or not, it's not a problem. And we make mockeries of it. One person, Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Alayh, quotes this incident in his famous book, Mirqat, which is the commentary of Mishkat al-Masabih. One person heard a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that if a person precedes the imam in any posture in namaz in salah, Rasulullah mentions words to this effect in that hadith, that such a person should fear that his face be changed into that of a donkey. Person heard that hadith. It's a lesson for us. That person heard that hadith, mocked that hadith. How can such a thing take place with such a small action? The next salah, next namaz, he went, he challenged that hadith, denying it. And he preceded the imam in some posture, mocking the hadith, denying that. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah writes, that person's face was changed to that of a donkey. One person heard the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when a student goes out to learn, obtain Islamic knowledge, 70,000 angels spread their wings for such a person. He said, how can 70,000 angels, where are they? It's something I cannot understand. It does not conform to my logic, which is so limited. I will stamp my feet on the ground, and I will break those wings of those angels. When he did so, the ulama writes that such a person was paralyzed for his entire life. At the end of Suratul Mulk in the 29th Sipara, Allah Ta'ala speaks, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. The author of Jalaluddin Sharif, Allama Mahalli Rahimahullah, quotes an incident that when a person heard this verse of the Quran Sharif, which means that if Allah Ta'ala is showing us the great favor and ni'mat of water that we have. Allah Ta'ala says in that verse, the mafhum of that ayat is that if the water has to become such that it is sunken into the ground, nobody can reach that place and take out the water. Allah Ta'ala then says, who else besides me, that is Allah Ta'ala, can bring your flowing water? One person challenged that verse, that if Allah Ta'ala has to make the water sink into the ground, I will make sure I will bring the water. Instructed his people, let's take the picks, the spades, Let's dig the ground out and take out water and show Allah Ta'ala that we will bring water, He does not do it. Challenging the verse and the ayat of the Quran Sharif. Denying it. Not appreciating this great gift Allah Ta'ala has given us. Allama Mahalli rahimahullah writes in Jalalin Sharif, ذَهَبَ مَاءُ عَيْنِهِ, the water of his eye disappeared. He became blind to his entire life. Challenging the verse of the Quran Sharif. So this great gift of Iman that we have has to be protected. When it comes to, when we hear a law of the Quran, Quran Sharif, of the Ahadith Mubarakah, the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being a certain action, we do not question it. Wholeheartedly we accept it. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنِ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ رَسُولُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُنْ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ. That when Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to give a decision, decide in regards to any matter, no believer, male or female, has a choice in that matter. Iman requires us, when we say we have Iman, we have belief. It is not just by name that we are believers. But wholeheartedly, whatever it be in the Quran Sharif, whatever the Ahadith Mubarakah instruct us to do, whether we like it or don't like it, whether we understand it or not, wholeheartedly it has to be accepted. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, I've just recited that verse, oh you believe, udkhulu fi silmi kaf. All of you enter into Islam totally. Wala tattabi'u khutawati shaytan. Do not follow the footsteps of shaytan. Shaytan objected to Allah Ta'ala. That, oh Allah, you created Adam alayhi salam, from tin, from sand, from clay. I'm created from fire. Why must I make sajda to him? And when he objected to Allah Ta'ala, we know what happened to him. Doomed till the day of Qiyamah. So that is what Allah Ta'ala instructs us. Wholeheartedly, whatever the sunnah tariqah be, the month of Rabiul Awwal is here for us to revive the sunnahs of Rasulullah in our lives. Learn what is the sunnah. What are the laws of the Quran and the hadith in regards to every aspect of our life. Whether it be business, whether it be marriage, whether it be inheritance, whether it be divorce, whether it be partnerships, whatever it be. And wholeheartedly accept it. We do not have a choice in these matters. That is where we are faltering all the time. That we create choices for ourselves. If we want, we do it. If we don't do it, there's no problem. When it comes to inheritance, Allah Ta'ala has decreed in the Quran Sharif that a woman, a wife of a person, either inherits quarter or 1/8 of the estate. And then we begin to object to Allah Ta'ala's law in the Quran. Where Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, لِذَكْرِ مِسْتُ حَظِ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ, a male gets a double share of that of a female, we begin to object to that. Where the laws of talaq are so clear and avowed, it's so apparent in the Quran Sharif. A man has to divorce his wife. The nikah is over. How many times you find a person says, I've divorced my wife, given her one talaq. I had no niyat, intention of that. Whether you have an intention or no intention, when the explicit words of divorce are said, the divorce takes place. If one is given, it's one. If three is given, it's three. And then the whole nikah is over. Today we try to change around to suit our whims and fancies. When it comes to business, when it comes to hijab, when it comes to different aspects, without any knowledge, many a time you will reject the laws of the Quran and Hadith. In business, when certain things are haram, we're not supposed to deal in it. And then we legalize it. When it comes to interest, we legalize it. When it comes to hijab, that a woman should be dressed in a certain way, and that is compulsory, there's no choice in that. What we do is, we then create choices. We then reject the verses of the Quran Sharif. So many places in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala has spoken with regards to hijab. Parda, that is how a woman should be dressed. And then we reject it. That takes us out of the fold of Islam. That iman we have is then lost. And we will then regret, really regret, in akhirah. When Allah Ta'ala is prohibited in the Quran Sharif, music, it is clearly mentioned so many places in the Ahadith Mubarakah. Rasulullah has mentioned, I have come to destroy music. musical instruments. The hadith is clear. Listening to music will create hypocrisy in a person's heart. And there we then reject that and try to legalize and say it is permissible. When it comes to intermingling of sexes, which are prohibited so clearly, so many different places and different ways, we then begin to legalize that. So my respected elders and brethren in Islam, this great gift we have of the gift of Iman, we have to appreciate it, value it, protect it. By accepting whatever is in the Quran, whatever the hadith have mentioned, whatever be the sunnah tariqah, without any doubts, without mockery, without anything of that kind, wholeheartedly you will accept it. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, that who are the believers? They believe in Allah and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا, and they do not doubt after that. So my respected elders in Islam, may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat, that we appreciate this great gift of Iman. We accept whatever the Quran and Hadith have mentioned to us wholeheartedly, totally. And in no form we reject or mock any verses of the Quran and the Sunnah Tariqah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.